blessing to be gathered together this morning, isn't it? If you have your Bible with you, whatever format you have, I want to encourage you to turn with me to Philemon. I haven't figured out exactly how to pronounce that, but this is right after Titus. It's in the New Testament. It's about the 18th book in the New Testament, if that helps anybody out. The Lord brought this book to my remembrance this week. When I was a younger man, in my teenage years, I was given the opportunity to teach a lesson in the church, and I picked this book. I think I picked it because it was the shortest book, and at the time I was a church member, but I wasn't saved. And so I was able to read the words on the page, but I really couldn't describe the power behind what God was saying through this book. As we look at this book over the next few weeks, I'm going to begin a series entitled Reconciled. Reconciled. This book speaks a lot about relationships, personal relationships. You know that God would have us to be in good, strong, healthy, personal relationships, Christian relationships. But often we are living in a world that's filled with brokenness on every hand. Many of you know I work inside the prisons and I see the brokenness all around. I hear about moms and dads that were never married. And I hear about those that did get married and those homes were broken. I hear about animosity among parents and children and animosity among siblings. But as we turn to God's Word, we see that that's not how He has intended it to be. He desires for us to have good, healthy, strong relationships. And He's not afraid of speaking into that because sin has had a devastating effect on all of our lives. And what does sin do? It breaks relationships. It tears relationships apart. There's a lot in our world today that don't even have a relationship with God. They don't know Him. Their sin is separating them from Him. But God is good. He's holy. He's just. He's righteous. He's all-knowing. He knows everything about your life, past, present, and future. If there's someone that you need to know, it's Him. But sin so often separates us. And we see that lack of relationship with God begins to bleed over into our relationships with one another. Does it not? And so as we look at this book of Philemon, there's a few things I want us to consider, these gospel concepts. One of the first is that of Christian love. You know that the Bible says God is love. Very clearly. And when someone is saved, Romans 5:5 says the love of God is poured out into their hearts. And there's a change, and we know that we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. And so God, when He saves us, He gives us a new start. He gives us a new heart first, and He gives us a new heart. And this love for God is flowing from the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And so you love one another. That's evidence. Jesus even said that. He said, the world will know that you're my disciples because you love one another. And so this book is really a lot about Christian love. Secondly, it's about forgiveness. Jesus taught us that to ask for forgiveness and to grant forgiveness is just as important as our daily bread. You know, when we have unforgiveness in our hearts and bitterness and anger in our hearts and all this stuff that begins to bubble up on the inside, it impacts our everyday life. It impacts us worse than going without a meal or two. And so we see that this is important. Jesus tells us. And if anybody's ever been wronged, and I would venture to say that somebody in this church, I have to say probably 100% of us in this church have been wronged, or we faced injustices in our lives, or something that hasn't gone the way that it should have. Have we not all experienced that in our lives? Things are just not right. But instead of being angry, Instead of carrying bitterness and resentment in your heart, instead of having those heart blockages, Jesus says to learn to ask God for forgiveness if you've committed any sin before Him, and ask those around you that you may have trespassed, to ask them to forgive you, that you might know the fullness of these relationships and to enjoy this life. Because I don't think there's anybody that's ever been treated more unjustly or unfairly or been wronged more than Jesus. And Jesus gives us our example as Christians. He says, Father, forgive them, as He's hanging on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's powerful, isn't it? And so we've got to be able to grant forgiveness. What is forgiveness? The Oxford English Dictionary says it means this: to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense or a mistake. It takes a lot of energy to hold that grudge. And that anger will wear you out. The Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible says forgiveness is this: ceasing to feel resentment for wrongs and offenses. It means to pardon, involving restoration of a broken relationship. The Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary says it like this: forgiveness is a term used to indicate pardon for a fault or offense, to excuse from payment for a debt owed. That means that when we've wronged someone, there's a debt that is owed. But Jesus teaches us, because of the sacrifice that He made on the cross, that He says, you can forgive. You can release that debt toward them. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? It's actually a gift when you forgive someone. It's a gift that you give them. Yes, they owe you, but if I really consider how much sin that I've done before God, and I realize how much God has forgiven me for all the things that I've done, who am I to continue to hold these bitterness and resentment and all this anger on the inside when I can be released of all this and enjoy the peace with God and the peace of God? When both parties are willing to forgive, then we can find reconciliation. That's the title of this series. In our meaningful membership course that we did about a year or so ago, as we talked about covenant commitments for healthy church life, one of the mandates was this, concerning resolving conflicts biblically. As the people of God, we commit to overcome our offenses in a biblically prescribed manner, leading to resolution and peace. Bitterness, resentment, and broken relationships are not acceptable for the people of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so our relationships, they need to be healthy. If anyone needs to be setting the standard in our world today, it's the church. But so often we see the adversaries even crept into the church. And I'm not saying he's in here right now, but I'm saying that I'm preaching this as a message of warning that he could be. He could allow some small thing to divide relationships and to knock our focus off of Jesus and what He's done for us at the cross. Because when I always go back to the cross and when I realize what God has done for me, who am I that God would show such mercy and loving kindness and patience with me? But so often I get back here and I begin to think about, I'm not so slow to anger and I'm impatient and irritable with those around me. Lord, help me. Because I'm to demonstrate Jesus. Me, I'm a Christian. I'm to demonstrate Jesus. This church is a Christian church. We are to demonstrate Jesus to the world. And so if anyone needs to be experts on solving some of the most complex, difficult relational issues, it should be the church. We don't have to turn anywhere else because God has given us sufficient knowledge to handle all of these things in our world. He has the counsel that we need. So often we're trying to find answers everywhere else except turning to God and turning to His Word and turning to the church. But it's important that we see this. And so as we think about reconciliation, what is reconciliation? It's a change in relationship or attitude from enmity to peace. You ever been in a relationship where there was once animosity and there was something harbored there, and then it went from being enmity to peace, and it actually became a new relationship. It strengthened that relationship that you can work through problems. Reconciliation also means the cessation of hostility in attitude or action. Any of you ever been moody towards somebody? Had that hostility, that attitude in your heart towards somebody? Well, when we reconcile, those things are gone. And both forgiveness and reconciliation are central doctrines to the Christian faith. They are unique to the Christian faith. Because how can anybody really forgive and know the fullness of forgiveness without the cross that we symbolize, without the death that someone was willing to stand in the gap that we might have a mediator? Because you and I and God were not on speaking terms. There was no reconciliation until Jesus stepped in the gap and said, I want to open up the way that God and man can communicate, because man, you have offended God by your sin and your rebellion and your stiff-necked attitudes toward God and toward His ways. And God says, I am holy and I will never reduce my standards for anyone. And Jesus said, I'm holy too, and I'll go as God in the flesh, and I'll die in their place, and I'll take their charges so that there can be an open avenue that I can bring together. In one hand, I can bring together man. In the other hand, I can bring together God, and God and man can dwell together in harmony and unity and peace once again. What a blessing. And so we open up this book, Philemon, as we begin the series entitled Reconciled. The book of Philemon is filled with the grace and truth needed for spiritually healthy relationships. It's a private letter that the Apostle Paul writes. It was intended to Philemon and his family, and it describes the nature of their personal relationship. That's what we're going to focus on today. As we look at the title of the message today, it's going to be Christian Relationships. And he starts off with his personal relationship, but there's a problem that has arisen. Philemon had a slave by the name of Onesimus. And I'll speak more about slavery and the issues of that next week, Lord willing, if God gives us the time to come back. But there was a problem that rose up. Onesimus was a slave of Philemon. He stole something from Philemon, and he went off running away. He stole it and he ran away. But in God's providence, Onesimus heard the gospel under the Apostle Paul while Paul was in prison. Isn't it amazing that God can get you right to where you need to be and to hear the message you need to hear? Now, Onesimus is thinking in the back of his mind, how can I make these things right with Philemon? I've wronged him. I've ran away from him. I've abandoned him. I've abandoned my post, and I've just blown that relationship. Is there any hope for them? And so Paul, while he's in prison, he writes four prison epistles. Two of those prison epistles are one to the Colossians and the other one to Philemon, because Colossians was, there was a church in the city of Colossae that Paul wrote to, and he gave the letters of Colossians and Philemon to Tychicus and to Onesimus to send them back to go and bring this to Philemon. I know that's a lot to think about, but if you'll read through the book and study a little bit, it'll make a little bit more sense. And so Paul addresses the problem, and he makes the plea to Philemon. And then we see at the end of this message, as we get to the end of this book in the next few weeks, Lord willing, we're going to see a powerful demonstration of the gospel. Do you have any relationships that have just been blown? You got anybody in your life that have got some relationships that just seems like, I don't know how they're ever going to come back together. I don't know how it's all going to work. I want you to see it. If we'll do it God's way, God can make those things that look like there's no way they're ever going to be brought back together. God's able to bring them back together. Amen. He's that good. He's that powerful. And that's His will. It's His will to restore relationships. It's His will that man forgives. It's His will that man reconcile. And it's His will that Christ be seen in our lives. So let's begin reading here in verse 1. I'll read down to the 7th verse. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So let's talk about Christian relationships. I know you've got all kinds of relationships, but I want to talk in particular about Christian relationships. Because I believe they, as they are filled with gospel concepts, they should be some of the closest relationships you have with anybody in this world, or those that are your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. Because I've got to remind you, if you've been saved, we're going to spend eternity together. So it doesn't make any sense to have brokenness and things like that in the church of the Lord. Because one of these days, the Lord's going to settle it all right. He's going to say, well, you were wrong here and you were wrong here. Why didn't you just confess that and get together and enjoy those relationships? And so as Paul writes this personal letter, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul sends greetings to his Christian brother. He is thankful for his Christian brother. He prays for his Christian brother. And he praises his Christian brother. The Bible says, let not your own mouth praise you, but let the words of another. And so it's okay what the Apostle Paul is saying about his brother. He's saying, hey, I see good things in your life, Philemon. I'm thankful for you and I'm praying for you. That's what we're going to break down. But I want us to see this nature of this. Paul says here that he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, the ending of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 28, verse 30, the Apostle Paul is under house arrest there at the end of it. But he could have friends coming and going that he was able to teach there from his house. He could teach them concerning the kingdom of God. And while he was there, somewhere around 60 to 62 A.D., that's when he's writing these letters. And he's a prisoner, though. He can't just, doesn't have the freedom to go about and do what he wants to do. But he's thinking about when he was spending time in Ephesus in A.D. 52 to 55, somewhere between 5 and 8 or 10 years ago, that there was a church that at Ephesus that was founded as the Apostle Paul had preached. And Philemon had traveled down from Colossae and he had gone down to Ephesus. The Apostle Paul preached in the school or the hall of Tyrannus for 2 years. And he was preaching them the gospel and teaching them the truth about who God is and what it is to be reconciled to God, what it is to know the forgiveness of God. And one of the men in the crowd happened to be Philemon. He had traveled from Colossae up to Ephesus, because it tells us in Acts chapter 19, verse 9, it tells us that the Word of God spread throughout all of Asia in that day as Paul spent time there in Ephesus. Now, I find that amazing, because the Apostle Paul had wanted to go to Asia itself and to preach in that area, but the Bible says the Holy Spirit forbade him to go into that area, and he wanted to go up into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit said no, and God gave him a Macedonian call and said for him to go somewhere else. And so God in His ways, I just want to say that, God is bigger and better than all that we can ever ask or think, because Paul wanted to reach out to those people in Asia, and now as we turn to Colossians and Philemon, he is writing to a church that was established not primarily based on his personal work, but as a result of his work and service in the Lord. So Philemon had heard the gospel, and so Paul is writing here as a prisoner. He's held captive. I got to ask you a question before we go any further. What would we do if we were in a situation of suffering like the Apostle Paul? Perhaps you came in here this morning and you've got some suffering going on in your life. Would you be joyous in the gospel and say, hey, I want to think about my brother over there? Or do we often, in the middle of suffering and trials, do we often just turn inward and say, hey, I don't want to work for the Lord. I don't want to serve Him. And I don't even know if I want to go to church this morning. That's often what happens when we're going through suffering. We don't have a biblical mindset like we should have. We don't have a biblical worldview. We're not Christ-centered as we need to be. But the Apostle Paul here sets us an example. He said, hey, I'm a prisoner in the Lord. Paul, why are you a prisoner? I just keep telling people about Jesus. And they want to get me quiet. They want to push me over to the corner. But the Word of God is not bound. Wherever they put me, I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. When he was there writing the letter to the Philippians, he said, many of the guards have been saved as a result of God putting me in this position. I would have never chosen it for myself. But God knows what He's doing. And He put me here. And so he writes this letter as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He's saying, I'm a prisoner because this is God's will for my life right now. This is right where He's got me. Now, instead of fighting against the Lord, I'm going to be okay with it and say, thank You, Lord, for this opportunity, this unique opportunity to reach new people. He says, in Timothy, our brother. Who was Timothy? Acts chapter 16 tells us he was a faithful disciple in Lystra. A faithful young man serving the Lord. He was a third generation Christian. His grandmother Eunice, and his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois had a sincere faith, the Apostle Paul said. But he had an unbelieving father. Can God do amazing things even if you've got a mother or father that's not a believer? Timothy, he's got a couple letters written to him, and the Apostle Paul trusts him enough to send him down to the church at Ephesus and pastor that church where he spent all that time ministering the gospel. He said, Timothy, if there's anybody I want to go down there, it's you, because I have faith in you. I trust that God's going to use you in a mighty way to bless you. And so Paul's writing this letter with Timothy. He says, he's my brother. Timothy, my brother, he was a younger man. Actually, Paul called him my son in the faith. So perhaps Timothy got converted under the Apostle Paul's ministry. He had a love for him. We're talking about Christian relationships, right? He had a love for Timothy because he saw this young man get saved. He saw the gospel at work in his life. He saw it blossom and grow in his life. He said, this is my fellow brother, my fellow believer in the Lord. We're part of the same spiritual family. And so he says, we're writing this unto Philemon. Notice how he describes Philemon here. He says, our dearly beloved. Philemon means affectionate. The original word there for beloved is agapetos, I believe. And I don't know if I pronounced that exactly right. But it's a word where we get the word for agape. Agape is God's love. Eros in the Greek is an erotic love. Phileo is a brotherly love. But agape is this love that's used to coin God's love for one another. And so Paul, as he's writing to this to his Christian brother, he says to my dearly beloved, he said, I love you, brother. I'm thankful for what God has done in your heart. God's given you a new heart, Philemon. And I was there to somewhere in the midst of that. I heard your testimony and I witnessed it and I saw it. And Lord, I've just been so blessed, brother, that God chose to save you and to redeem you and to give you a brand new life. God made you rich, brother. See, Philemon was already, he was a wealthy man. He had a nice household. If we pick up in just a minute, we'll find out that the church met in his house there at Colossae. He opened up his heart and he opened up his home to his fellow believers. And so Paul, as he's writing to his brother here, he's got this loved one, this term of endearment. And he also says to Philemon, my fellow laborer. Do you know if we've been saved, that God has a work for us to do? And Philemon, as he thought about Philemon, he said, this is a fellow laborer. And I like to, as I study that word, the word underlying fellow laborer is the word for we get synergy. You know what synergy means? It means to be working together. And Paul says, Philemon, as I look at your life, we're in this together. We're advancing God's cause together. You may be down there at Colossae and helping to build up that church and strengthen that church there, but we're in this together. Well, and that's the reason I love you so much, Philemon, because we're working together in this battle for the Lord. We're helping one another. We've joined hand in hand. Because we've all, if we've been saved, we've been all called to Christian ministry. My job as a pastor is to edify you and to encourage you that the church might to fulfill its work in the ministry and to love one another, to build itself up in love toward one another. But we're all called to be ministering one to another. It's just not me as a pastor. I'm here to lead the front. You're called to love one another. You've been saved to serve. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, It says we are created in Christ Jesus, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has prepared or foreordained before the foundation of the world. He has got a job. So if God has saved you, He has ordained a job and a purpose for you to serve Him in your family and in the church. Isn't that a blessing this morning to think about? And so Philemon was not allowing. Some say they've got faith. Some say they got faith, but they don't show any evidence of that faith. James would say on the other side of that faith without works is dead. And so as you think about your life and your Christian life, there should be some evidence of that outflowing in serving the Lord and serving His people. If we're truly His, if that Christian love is really in your heart, it's going to show itself. And so in Philemon, we see that. He writes also to our beloved Apphia. Some say that this was perhaps Philemon's wife, because this is a personal letter. And I'm blessed by this, that Paul says, you're a dear sister to me. As I think about Philemon, you're a dear brother of mine in the Lord. And as he thinks about Apha, his wife, he says, you are a dear sister to me. You are a godly woman. And I thank God for you too. Isn't that a blessing? Are you thankful for the sisters you have in the Lord that you get to walk with? We're talking about Christian relationships here. And Paul is writing this as he's greeting them. And he goes on to say to our fellow soldier, Archippus. Archippus, as you read over in Colossians chapter 3, you'll find out a little bit more about him. As Paul closes his letter, he says this in verse 17 of Colossians, actually chapter 4. It says, and to say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae to encourage a brother that they know that has a call on God, a call of God on his life to preach the Word. You know, it's the church's responsibility to encourage the ministers, to encourage the preachers, to encourage them and build them up to say, hey, as he says here, to take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. If a man's been called to preach, God's given him a calling. He's given him a lifelong job. He says, keep on filling it up. Keep on working at it. Don't give up. Be diligent at it. He says that you fulfill it. He wanted Archippus to be diligent. Now, perhaps Philemon's son, this was his son here. And so we see Paul writing this letter to this family that is serving together in the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Isn't that one of the goals and designs of the family? That the father, as the head of the whole household, to be leading the family to the church. The mother to be there teaching and guiding, and the husband and wife to be united together in this relationship, this Christian relationship that gives a picture of Christ and the church between the bride and the groom. That's the way it's intended. And the children that come up underneath them and their parentage, that we see a picture of the God the Father and His children in the home and the family in these Christian relationships. It's all to point to Jesus. And Paul is writing to Philemon and to Apphia and to Archippus. I like the way he said to Archippus, he said, my fellow soldier. You realize, I believe he thought he believed he was on the battlefront. I've got some other brothers right now that I love so dearly that are preaching the gospel right now as I speak. They're advancing God's kingdom right now. There's some fellow soldiers in the Lord that are on the front lines, that are standing behind this sacred desk, not with the weapons of this world, but by the true, powerful Word of God. They're just preaching God's Word, and they're trusting that God will save the sinner and edify the church and to draw us all closer to God. Paul, as he's thinking about these Christian relations, he said, thank you, Lord, for these people that I have in my life. And he greets them. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. Grace. You realize this morning that if we've been saved, it was all by grace. That's the reason Paul, in every letter he writes, he opens it up with a greeting of grace. I don't deserve to be forgiven by God. I don't deserve to be reconciled by God and through Christ. I don't deserve to have eternal life this morning. I don't deserve to know that if I were to take my last breath, I've got more than life insurance in this life. I've got a home on the other side that's already prepared. I'll be able to walk with God on those everlasting hills one of these days, and be able to talk to Him about the sufferings of this life, and to be able to rejoice with Him in the hope that He gave to me in this life. Oh, for the grace of God. And grace always precedes peace. This word here, Irene, is the Greek word, but in the Old Testament it was shalom, which means a wholeness, a fullness, a joy where everything, as we sing that song, it is well with my soul. If we could just encapsulate all the power of that song, that no matter what I'm going through, I've got peace. I've got the peace. I've got peace with God, and I also have the peace of God. The peace with God is that reconciliation, but I've also got His presence that just lets me know that everything's okay. Paul says, grace and peace to you. Who's it from? From God our Father. You know what he's saying here? He said, we got the same Father. You know, this morning it's amazing as I gather before the church, what a privilege it is to be able to preach before the church and to talk about Christian relations, that you and I have a Father if we've been saved. We've got a Father in heaven that loves us, that cares for us, and He's concerned about our relationship. As Paul is writing to this family, he's concerned about those. Paul also writes to the church that is in his house. See, in those days they didn't have special meeting houses. We drove by in White House one day and someone was gathering in the storefront, and the boys were saying, can that be a church? And I tried to remind them that a church is a visible congregation of baptized believers that have covenanted themselves together to worship the true and living God and to practice His ordinances as a New Testament body of believers. It doesn't require this building. It's the people. It's always been the people. And so in that case, Philemon had opened up his house for the church together. So he was a wealthy man. But his wealth didn't come in what he had of this world. His wealth, truly wealth, came from those spiritual riches that he found that he had in Christ. And so he writes here and he begins to share these things. Grace and peace to you. And then he tells us how thankful he is for this brother. You know, it'd be encouraging that we, on a continuous basis, tell one another how thankful we are that you show up and that you continue to pray, that you continue to follow the Lord Jesus and walk in His ways. And so Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Paul says that I thank my God every time I think of you. Philemon, you're reliable, you're faithful, you're trustworthy, you're working to build up the church, and I'm just thankful for you, brother, for what you're doing. And I thank my God because I keep hearing reports about you. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. Wait, I'm backed up. I got over to Thessalonians. Let me back up. That's the reason I got these markers. It says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. You see, Paul, as he saw in Philemon, he says, I keep hearing these reports of your faith that you have in Jesus. We sometimes take this for granted among our brothers and sisters in the Lord, but for you to wake up and to know you're praying on a weekly basis, to wake up and know you're reading your Word, to wake up and to be able to gather here on a consecutive, consistent basis, what a blessing it is. You're demonstrating your faith in the Lord. You're showing this world whose side you're on. And as a result of that faith, Paul says, Philemon, I keep hearing about the love that you have for all the saints. You love the Lord and it's evident in your heart and your life. And you've got love for all the saints. Philemon loved Jesus more than anything. And you got to love the church. You got to love the Lord's church to say, hey, I want everybody to show up at my house. We don't have a building to meet in, but my house is always open. It's open for hospitality because If we're going to gather together, we're always going to have a place to go. Because you're my family. If I've got somewhere, you got a place to go. We're family. Do you get a picture of this? Because this is the kind of Christian relationship that the Lord wants to see in this church right here. That we greet one another, that we are thankful for one another. And then he says, I pray for you. What is it that the Apostle Paul prayed for Philemon? He says here that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in Christ Jesus. What was he saying? That word communication means to share, to make known. Paul is saying, I pray for you, Philemon, that your life, as you've invested your life in the church and in fellowship and participation and sharing your life and doing life with others, I pray that the gospel will be communicated to those brothers and sisters, that God's love would overflow in you. He said that it may become effectual, that it might be effective, active, and able to bring about. He said, I pray that you might have a powerful testimony among the believers, that they see the evidence of God at work in your life because you know God. You know God and you have these Christian graces because the Spirit of God is inside of you and it's overflowing. The fruit is overflowing in your life. He's praying for him that Christ might be made so visible to everybody around you, Philemon. That's what he's praying, that Christ in you, the hope of glory, that Christ might be put on full display. That you might be a walking billboard, that you might be a walking testimony of God's grace in action and God's peace in action in your life and ever how you live your life, that others may see that I see Jesus in him. That's what Paul's praying. You know, that's what we should pray for everybody in this church, that as we leave these four walls, that as we go out in this world, that we pray for one another, that Lord, as Bethlehem Church goes out into this world, that this community can see Jesus in us individually, in our homes, and in this church body. Amen. That's what Paul prays. He's thankful for it. I believe he says what he says there in Galatians 2 and 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. He said, I want the world to see that you're crucified with Christ. You're dead to the things of this world, that you might be alive unto God, that He's the one that's most important. No longer was Philemon going to allow money to get in his way. He used to probably live in that kind of way before he became saved. That's it. He got wealthy some kind of way. He was a businessman. He made money. He handled his affairs well to some degree to have a large enough home to invite the church over there. But when you get saved, you can't serve God in money. You got to serve. You're going to have one master. And Philemon has said, I've got the right master now. There's one master in heaven. I love him more than anything. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I get the opportunity to live. Yet not I, but Christ, He's living in me. He's living in me. Christ is in me. Christ, the hope of glory, is in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. He loved me. Jesus loved me. And He gave Himself for me. That's the reason I love Him. That's the reason I got love in my heart for God's people and the community and anybody else, because I realize there's many in this world that don't know the love of God. And Paul is writing to him. He's commending him. Because the basis of forgiveness is going to be based in God's love and Christian love. The reason we don't forgive and we don't reconcile sometimes is because we're not walking in God's love as we should be. I realize that you sometimes can't. This is another message at another time. Sometimes you can't reconcile. Because the other person is not willing to forgive and work through the problems. That's another thing. But we all, as God's people, in those relationships, should be able to come to the cross and say, I have a heart of forgiveness. Whether you come to the cross or not, I have a heart of forgiveness. And I'm releasing that and I'm set free. And I'm trusting God to work on the other side in your timing. That's the kind of heart that He wants to have. He wants to have a heart set free, right? And so as Paul concludes and he's talking about this Christian relationship that he has with Philemon, we've seen that he greets him. We see that he's thankful for him. He prays for this brother. And then he praises him. He says here in verse 7, he says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Paul says, your life, Philemon, has brought great joy to me. I see the Holy Spirit in you. When I'm around you, it just encourages me. The joy that comes from the Lord. Doesn't matter what circumstances you're going through, Philemon. You got joy. The Holy Spirit is exuding this delight in the Lord. Because if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He says He'll give us the desires of our hearts. We don't have to be dissatisfied, discontent, and angry, and bitter, and resentful. We don't have to be like that. Because we have joy in Jesus every day. No matter where we are. And Paul says, your joy, your faithful, consistent joy is a blessing to me. And he says, also, your life has brought great encouragement or comfort to me and Timothy. Do you have any brothers or sisters in the Lord in your life right now that just because they're faithful to the Lord, there's a demonstration of their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for all the saints, their love for God's work, they're active in their faith, they're reliable, they're trustworthy, they're doing what God has called them to do, and it just rises up in your heart that, man, thank you, Lord, for that brother or that sister. As I look across this room, there's a lot of that I could say. Thank you, Lord, for those brothers and sisters in the Lord. See, Paul and Philemon, they were good, close friends. And he says this, and this is what probably touched me the most out of studying this week. He says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. You know, sometimes life can grind us down. Right? You ever been in, we call work the grind, right? What does the grind do? The grind sometimes can dull you, right? You can get cynical, you can get dull. But there's a flip side of that too. That the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so does the countenance of one man sharpen the other. While we're going through the grind, if we've got good brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we can sharpen one another instead of allowing this world and all that it's got to go against us. Paul says, when I think about you, Philemon, and I hear about the saints, he says, your life, he says, you are refreshing others because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. What is he saying? This is what touched me the most. Paul is saying that the bowels, as you talk about the bowels of mercies, it's a word that describes the intestines. Our intestines are deep down in this area right here. It's even below our hearts. It's way down here. And sometimes they would use these words to describe the deep affection that I have for you. And what Paul is saying to Philemon, he's saying, the life that you're living, as you've got your eyes on Jesus and you're demonstrating that by love for those around you, it is touching men and women deeply in their soul. Isn't it wonderful when you got somebody in your life, when they walk with Jesus, they're an inspiration to you. They lift up your spirits and they give you a pat on the back and say, keep on going. Brother, there's joy in the Lord. There's peace in the Lord. And God has got given us all the hope that we need. Oh, I want to be that kind of person. Because the word there, refreshed, means to give rest. It means to provide intermission for labor. Sometimes we can just get tired and worn out with all the daily activities. But you know what? God has never asked us to be, and this is where I struggle sometimes. He hasn't asked us to be task-oriented. Some of us put tasks more important than people. The reason sometimes we get worn down is because we're more concerned about the task than the people that are in our lives. And I found that when I began to refocus on relationships, and to draw closer to God, and draw closer to my brothers and sisters in the Lord, it lifts me up. It sharpens me. It encourages my faith. And gives me the strength to keep moving on. Because all these things that we're busying ourselves with around this world, a lot of them, they're not going to last, but all the relationships are. Everybody's going to live somewhere for eternity. And so as we think about this, just wanted to introduce this book to you and just to see this healthy, spiritual, God-centered relationship between the Apostle Paul and Timothy and Philemon and his family. He's going to raise up a problem in the next week, Lord willing. But we see there's love, Christian love. May that be the mark of our church. And may we stand on these truths and be encouraged. And may our lives, as we follow the Lord, bring encouragement and comfort to others. Let us not be afraid. Let's follow the Apostle Paul's advice here. There's times when we just need to say to our brother or sister, I thank God for you. I'm praying for you. I appreciate what I hear about your life because it's a blessing. I'm thankful that you're touching hearts and you're touching lives in places that I can never go. Imagine if we did more and more of that. It'd stir our souls to keep doing more and more, wouldn't it? Until the Lord Jesus comes back. So let's heed these words. Let's thank God. Number one, for our relationship with Him through the reconciling work of His Son on the cross. And let's thank God that He's put a love in our hearts, one for another, that we are a family in Him. We've got the same Father if we've been saved, and we've got an elder brother that has led the way to where we want to go. Let's keep our eyes on Him as we get a song and sing. Appreciate you hearing me this morning.